I was gonna start with Joe Rogan having Dave Chappelle on his podcast, but the late night jokes about Rudy Giuliani's meltdown the other day are too good. Colbert said, "Remind me, is it a good sign when your lawyer starts melting?" Colbert said, "It seems like the press conference was getting a little hot because partway through his presentation, Rudy Giuliani sweat so much that his hair dye started running down his face. Either that or he had so much to drink he was sweating Merlot." Colbert said, "Looks like Rudy got a bad batch of Just for Henchmen." Fallon, "Wow, nothing screams confident lawyer like a guy standing in front of everybody dripping in sweat. Trevor, you know your legal strategy is effed up when even your hair starts crying about it. Trevor, again, it was going down both cheeks. The dude was growing a chin strap beard in real time. Trevor, I mean, Trump always said that he had leakers in his administration, but I didn't know it was this bad. Jimmy Fallon, his face looks like what happens when you wring out a rag at Jiffy Lube." Fallon, "But this is good. Rudy dried himself off by standing in front of a leaf blower from Four Seasons Total Landscaping." That is so good. Kimmel, "He was literally dying up there today." Colbert, "That's not just hair dye. It looks like his hair is dying." Colbert, "Rudy dyed his hair, but his head is challenging the results." Fallon, "When Rudy wakes up in the morning, his pillow must look like a Rorschach test." Corden, "This actually reminds me, I'm in charge of making gravy this Thanksgiving." Fallon, "He's sweating like Borat just walked in the room." And Jimmy Fallon, "For the win, Rudy looks like your printer after you put in the wrong ink cartridge." Wow, those are good. So on Thursday, I recorded the Friday episode. That's normally what I do, you know, for the next morning. And I did Saturday as well for reasons for my schedule. And then I went outside to get some air and I checked my phone. And as soon as I had recorded two episodes and published them, I saw there was not only a new episode on Artie Lang's podcast feed, but Joe Rogan dropped an episode with Dave Chappelle. I'm like, where was this information 5 minutes ago? But I figured, eh, I could wait till Monday. And here's why. I'll start with Chappelle on Rogan. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, I'm so jazzed for this. I'll cut to the chase. It wasn't good. Sorry. It wasn't good. I don't know how Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan together wasn't good, but it wasn't good. So the episode is labeled Donnell Rawlings and Dave Chappelle. Dave walks in 2 hours and 20 minutes into the discussion. So you can sit there with your 30-second skip button and go, skip, 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 skip. I don't know how many times you have to do that for 2 hours and 20 minutes, but do it. The Donnell Rawlings part, I tried. I couldn't get into it. So then, all right, Dave finally shows up and I'm like, yay. And I don't know. They just didn't click. I don't know what it is. Complex.com recapped it and said, after Rogan caught Chappelle up on the conversation, that's the 2 hours and 20 minutes with Donnell Rawlings. He shared some thoughts on the U.S. moving forward after the pandemic. Chappelle said, I'm far from an economist, but I will say that planning for your future is a good thing. It's a necessary thing. Even though it's uncertain, you have to remember the sun does rise every morning, so just keep moving. Chappelle said, I've never seen this before. You've never seen something as large as the American economy stop and then start back up, but it's a global phenomenon. It's not like it's happening just to us. We're just handling it terribly. 3 hours in, again, the first 2 hours and 20 minutes is not with Dave Chappelle, it's with Donnell Rawlings. The trio went long into how the U.S. tends to default to a feeling of disrespect for older people. Chappelle said, I feel like here in America, we just discard people. And added, I like when Trump calls the elderly, as if somehow that doesn't apply to him. Chappelle said he will return to Rogan's podcast after the inauguration for a full interview. I look forward to that. All right, so the Artie Lang, Artie had kind of disappeared earlier in the year. He was doing his podcast, and then all of a sudden, kind of when COVID started, Artie just, I don't know, no more podcasts, wasn't on social media. So then I saw they dropped an episode called Letters to Artie. I checked it out. I listened to the whole thing. I'm still not sure what went down. He was interviewed by his producer. Artie started talking about past events, and it's unclear to me, was he in some sort of custody during the summer? Did he just need to lay low? Was he feeling overwhelmed by everything? I'm not sure what went on. You know, it's a very thorough discussion, but in that arty way, like I said, I'm not sure what actually happened there. But it's on the feed if you want to check it out. While we're talking podcasts, I discovered Auntie Donna, which if you haven't watched that on Netflix, you should watch that for sure. Probably going to rank as my second favorite thing of the year. Ted Lasso is going to be number one when I finally publish the list. And I don't know what's going to pass Ted Lasso in the next 6 weeks or 5 weeks. But Auntie Donna on Netflix is fantastic, and they have a related podcast. Whitney Cummings caught up with the Daily Beast. They asked her, hey, I was wondering how you felt about Trump parodies, because a lot of comics attempted to do that over the last 4 years, and very few were successful. Whitney said, I had a friend in Hollywood who told me every time they do that, they're helping him because it makes his supporters hate Hollywood more. I'm of a mind that SNL actually helped Trump, since Alec Baldwin's impersonation didn't reveal anything about Trump. It was just a movie star pounding his lips and repeating things Trump said almost verbatim. It wasn't like The President's Show, where Anthony Tamnewick actually exposed how Trump was this weird, erratic child. Standing ovation on that point. You've heard me make it. Tamnewick was great. Alec Baldwin's Trump was not good. I think this nails it. A movie star pouting his lips and repeating things Trump said almost verbatim. Yeah. I mean, it was a step up from, say, pantomiming on TikTok, but I won't go there today. It's this thing of, I'm glad Trump's in office because now I get to see Alec Baldwin play him. It's this weird, can't wait to see Alec Baldwin play Trump. Positive association. I think Trump knows how much we need him and plays to that. It's this effed up, codependent, symbiotic cycle where the more we made fun of him, the more powerful he got. But yeah, I got some grief for not constantly tweeting negatively about Trump because I truly believe ignoring him is the only way. I'm not power enough to make a difference anyway. Speaking of presidents, the Obamas are getting involved with a Netflix comedy. It's called The G Word with Adam Conover. Yeah, the Adam from Adam Ruins Everything. It's being described as a blend of sketch comedy and documentary that takes viewers inside the complex machinery of the U.S. government. Conover will introduce the civil servants who make it work and take a satirical look at its shortcomings. The series is loosely inspired by Michael Lewis's best-selling book, The Fifth Risk, The G Word with Adam Conover, produced by the Obamas, coming to Netflix at some point in the future. Seth Rogen is quietly using comedy to put a dent in Alzheimer's. I like when people use their powers for good. This from UpRocks. And they said, Rogan's Netflix special, Hilarity for Charity, dropped on the streaming platform 2 years ago. It was named after the nonprofit he started with his wife, which now just goes by HFC. The organization's goal is to raise money for Alzheimer's research and in-home care. Rogan told InStyle back in 2017 that every time I visit my mother-in-law, I'm shocked that what I'm seeing is the result of this disease. Alzheimer's is brutal. I mean, it's associated with losing your memory, but you don't just forget who people are. You also forget how to talk, how to eat, how to do everything. That's hard to wrap your head around until you can actually see it. Around the time when I was getting old enough and famous enough to actually understand that I should probably be using that fame to draw attention to something is around the time all this started to happen. In my 20s, I was aware that other people were doing charitable things, but it was not on the forefront of what I was thinking about, nor did I have a cause or anything I felt strongly about or would be able to intelligently talk about. So it was really a moment where this was happening in my personal life, and at the same time, I was like, I could actually really help bring attention to this thing. HFC is the charity, originally called Hilarity for Charity. Great job, Seth Rogen. That's your daily comedy news for today. And a lot of new people listening via Spotify. Thank you very much. If you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. There's also a little thing there that'll tell you when the new episodes come out. But I can just tell you, they come out at 5:30 a.m. Eastern weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on the weekends. If you're new to this thing, this is a pretty typical episode. I usually start with the late night shows and then talk about various topics, take a break in the middle, and then do some stuff on the end. Sometimes on the weekends, say it's Thanksgiving weekend and it's a long weekend, I might do some article episodes where I talk about, comedy movies or a TV show or a sitcom or something that I liked. So every now and then you'll hear one of those different kind of episodes. There was an example of that yesterday where I talked about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But today is what you'll get for the most part. Thank you for listening. Follow on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. See everybody tomorrow. No break here, by the way, for Thanksgiving. I'll do an episode every single day. See ya.